and rental information at downtownchico.com. All right, boys and girls. We have a show. We're going to talk about sports.
And things.
And other stuff. Kick back, relax. We got you back for the next hour. Let's have some fun. With no further ado, ladies and gentlemen, talking about practice starts right now.
We talking about practice. Not a game, not a game, not a game. We talking about practice. It's easy to sum it up when you just talk about practice. I mean, listen, we talking about practice. I mean, how silly is that, man? We talking about practice. We talking about practice, man.
You know the drill. We are talking about practice, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show. I am your co-host, Jarrell Gilbert. Alongside me, as always, my partner in crime, co-creator of the show, Derek Isomaki. Derek? Derek?
Derek.
Derek, where are you?
¿Dónde estás, amigo?
Okay, so we've lost Derek. I mean, we don't think he's dead.
Well, think. We don't have any communication with him right now.
Last I spoke to him, he had to do some Christmas shopping. And unfortunately, if you have waited till this point in the year to do Christmas shopping, you're probably dealing with some horrendous holiday traffic. So that's what we're hoping happened to Derek. We're hoping he just got stuck in traffic. But we don't know. But in the meantime, we do have a resident degenerate, Rudy Vasquez.
Let's go, baby.
And of course, producer extraordinaire, the man who wears many hats, Stepman Brett.
Yeah.
I got a lot going on right now, so I'm not going to give a full yeah.
Yeah, no, it's fine. You're working three different systems right now.
And yep, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, we like to throw a lot at you and just see how you respond to it.
So, ain't that life?
So far, so good. Yo, before we get into the proceedings around here, I just wanted to wish everyone a happy holidays. Mm-hmm. We are grateful eternally for the support of our listeners. We've grown a lot over the past year and really looking forward to this next year. We got a lot of stuff cooking behind the scenes. We're going to have a lot more pods for you, a lot more content for you on the social media side of things. If you do follow us, which you should be following us, TBP Not a Game. Each week we do a behind the scenes look. We're going to get that even more dialed in on the actual live radio show. We're going to have post-game shows for you coming up in the next year where we could, you know, be a little off the cuff and a little wild, a little dangerous.
Ooh.
Over there. So make sure you're following us, TBP Not a Game on Instagram, TBP Not a Game. Follow us, we'll follow you back. Message us, we'll message you back. We're going to have contests coming up. We're going to have all sorts of stuff. What are you so excited about, Brad?
We're going to talk about a North State update.
Okay. All right. We'll get to it. So we have a North State update coming up. We have NBA talk coming up. Obviously, Steph Curry breaks all-time three record. We got to get into that. We were hoping to do a foot and mouth with our man, Derek Isomaki, but he is currently missing.
He's still having a Hispanic here, bro.
Yeah. We'll still talk a little football.
Come on now, man.
My bad. Of course, we're going to have our foreign correspondent on in a little bit. But we start with the stat of the day, because this I found fascinating. Not entirely surprising, but when you put it out there and you actually hear the numbers and you understand what's happening here, I thought this was pretty impressive and just an interesting tidbit. So, Statman Brad, take it away with the stat of the day.
So today marks half a lifetime of professional basketball for LeBron James. 6,752 days from birth until his draft day. And 6,752 days from draft day until today. It's a half a life of sports, professionally, and his life prior. Damn. That is ridiculous. So if you, absolutely ridiculous.
As of tomorrow, LeBron will have spent more time in the NBA than he had, more than half his lifetime playing in the NBA.
Yeah.
That's insane.
And as much grief as we give LeBron, and I get it, he could be passive aggressive. There's a lot of things, you know, he cries about fouls. There's a lot of things negative you could say about him. A couple things I do want to say to just shout him out. Again, regardless of how you might feel about him. Rare is it that we hype a player up the way we've hyped LeBron up coming into the league. His games were nationally televised on ESPN his junior and senior year of high school. They compared him to LeBron, they compared LeBron to Magic. They compared him to Jordan. They compared him to Larry Bird. And he lived up to all the expectations. And then some, if you really think about it. It was, what, 8 straight finals appearances?
Yeah.
He's won, what, now 4 NBA titles? I mean, he's just...
He's a machine, man.
And for all that, to have all of that at 16 years old, and to never have a real off-the-court controversy... He may have stepped in it. He may have said some things that were regrettable. But he's never had any type of real off-court controversy as far as I can remember. Yeah. He seems to be, you know, heavily involved in his family unit. He is clearly heavily involved in what he does as far as off the court, as far as he built that school, the Promise Academy, in his hometown for underprivileged youth that can attend without paying tuition. He provides food for not only the students, but the students' families, if they so choose, at no additional cost. He's done a lot of things off the court. Again, not a perfect person. I'm not trying to say LeBron's just the greatest human being of all time. He's not Brother Teresa. But considering the amount of pressure that is bestowed on you and to tap the chosen one on his back, and I understand why for many people that would be a giant turnoff and people would give him flack for that, to do all that and then to live up to all the hype and to be, if not the greatest basketball player of all time, the second greatest, is pretty remarkable.
That's insane, man. It's unreal. He's still out there balling. He's still in top 5 in the league as we speak.
Yeah,
you know,
he's been the centerpiece of 3 different teams as a champion. He's been the NBA Finals MVP every year. He's won finals, or every year he's won the MVP. Or I'm
every year he's won the finals, he's won MVP.
Yes, thank you. And it's just remarkable to think about a man that, again, we've known who he was for 20 years, and he's still top 5 NBA player. And beyond that, what he's done for athletes everywhere as far as creating a brand, and basically this whole player empowerment was started by LeBron. He was the shining beacon for players to say, wait, I should have more of a say in my own career. I should have a say in where I play. I should have a say in my own marketing, my own branding. Now, for better or worse, because I don't necessarily love that everyone is a brand now, but such is life right now, right? With social media, everyone is their own brand. You, mm-hmm. me, Brad, we all have 100%. Our own brand that we put out there on social media. And what LeBron did was say, hey, you could use this brand and you can use that leverage to create your own empire. He's done it in media. I mean, the man started in the shadows his own agency while being an NBA player, and then using that agency to his advantage to recruit some of the best players in the NBA to come play for him. It's just incredible what he's done. Again, for better or worse, the man took full advantage of his brand, of his power, and made something of himself, and not only himself, he brought his guys along with him.
Yeah, his whole squad's with him. He's been there since.
Yeah, you know? I mean, Mav Carter's running some of his business. It's just crazy when you really think about what he has created for himself, for the people of his community, for his family. And shout out to his wife Savannah, who he's been with since he was 18, since he was in high school. Who I saw something today that said, was talking about Savannah. It was like, look at, you know, Savannah James, no twerking on Instagram, no half naked pictures, just a supportive wife. Da da da.
Straight up, man.
Fam, you know, takes care of the fam and isn't a clout chaser. And that's rare nowadays with social media and everyone doing things out of character for the likes. You never hear about her in a negative fashion or really in any fashion.
No, she's a straight up mom, man. You know, she loves LeBron. She loves her family.
Yeah.
So she just kicks it at home, makes sure the kids are fed, takes them to school like a regular stay at home mom.
Yeah.
Do, you know,
no reality show based around her. You know, and this is no shot at any of the NBA wives or girlfriends or anything like that. It's just to say this is a very, very unique situation. And it's pretty, again, I understand that LeBron is a lightning rod and he's polarizing, but it is pretty amazing what he's been able to do with the power and the fame and what his family's been able to do. I mean, Bronny's probably going to play in the NBA. I don't know if he's going to ball. I don't know if he's going to be that great, but he's going to get a shot. And we've all been watching Bronny since he was like in eighth grade playing hoops. So it's just incredible what that guy's been able to do. Again, regardless of how you feel about him, I think it is fair to say it's pretty remarkable.
It is. And it's pretty cool watching him play throughout his whole career, for us especially.
Yeah. And did you see that block the other night?
Yeah.
When his head was at the rim and he's 37?
It's like, dude. Come on now, bro.
The dude's 37, man. What are we doing? God. Well, he's turning 37 next week. But again,
still,
he's played in the NBA as long as he half his lifetime. Yeah. And he's still getting his head above the rim to block a shot. Now, yeah, you can make fun of the Lakers and the team was poorly constructed. And I'm sure LeBron had something to do with that.
He had everything to do with that.
Fair enough.
Yeah, everything. Not
LeBron doesn't go on a team and not pick his whole entire squad.
Picked and choose every single damn player on that damn team.
But fair enough.
It is what it is.
This is coming from a Lakers fan who's obviously a little scorned right now, and I understand that.
We're paying Russell Westbrook $44 million this year, bro. For what?
Yeah, okay, that wasn't a great pickup.
Wait, who are you paying 44? Oh, Russell Westbrook.
Yeah,
Russell Westbrook. There
Russell
it is.
Westbrook.
I always mess up that name too. Don't worry about it. All right, so there was impromptu LeBron James
love
that I had not planned on, but here we are.
Yeah, here we are now.
Let's talk some football,
yes,
shall
please.
We?
Thank you.
All right. So, what was this, week 15?
That sounds about
14?
Right.
I think it was 15. Yeah, I think you're
it's
right.
It's confusing.
No, it's 14 because 15 might get canceled, is what they were saying.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there were some rumors that they might cancel, well, not the whole week, but a lot of games because of all these COVID cases that are coming out. So they haven't announced anything, but they're considering it right now.
Okay,
we'll see.
I'm going to need to ask a question, but first, Brad, I'm going to need you to go find the warning sounder because I think what I'm going to say may be controversial and may not be exactly
in
line with how the station feels about this stuff. So
all right, here we go.
Warning. The views and opinions expressed during this radio show are solely those of the members of Talking About Practice. They do not reflect the policy nor position of KZFR or KZFR supporters.
I mean, seriously, why would you ever take our show seriously? It's so dumb. It is so dumb.
Okay, so
we got that out of the way.
Thank you.
COVID protocols in the NFL, I'm just trying to keep up here. All right, so in the offseason, the NFL said that if a team is forced to postpone a game or cancel a game, that the team would then would be forced to forfeit that game.
Yes.
If there was an outbreak amongst that locker room. And they would have to forfeit all the money that would then be earned in that game. Of course, that whole idea was to put pressure on the players to get vaccinated, which
I agree. Everyone out there, you should get vaccinated, I believe. You know, I do believe it's a personal choice, but, you know, let's stop this this thing mutating and becoming worse, right? However, what we're finding in the NFL, NBA, that's happening overseas in football, in professional football, we're having a lot of these players, a lot, test positive, yet show no symptoms. We're talking about the most fit human beings in the world, the healthiest human beings in the world, that are showing no symptoms. Not a single, they're all, like more than 99% of them are asymptomatic. So then it then begs the question, what are we doing with the testing? Who are we protecting? Because the NFL stands to lose a lot of money, obviously, at the gate. If I go to a game, and for a fan's perspective, if I'm going to spend all that money to go to an NBA game, NFL game, and then half the starting lineup is out, then what am I actually paying to see?
Dude, yeah, exactly.
Warriors games, I don't know if you guys have looked at tickets, but I'm trying to go later this week, and they are astronomical. And let me tell you who's going to be furious if I drop $200 to sit in the nosebleeds and we're sitting Steph Curry because he tested positive even though he's asymptomatic. So this begs the question, what are we doing? What are we doing? If players are not showing symptoms, they are asymptomatic, they feel fine, but they're just testing positive. Who are we protecting? I'm just curious. I don't have the answers to this.
Yeah,
obviously, I don't think anyone does. Clearly, the government did not handle this properly. And I think KZFR and anyone else would probably support me when I say that much. I think we've done, as a society, granted, this is a once-in-a-lifetime situation. None of us have seen a pandemic this proportion before, but who are we protecting? The NFL stands to lose a lot of money. The NBA stands to lose a lot of money. Who are we protecting? Everyone in this country is privileged enough to have access to the vaccine, regardless of race, socioeconomic background. The only thing that factors in is age, right? We are not injecting babies with the Pfizer, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson. But other than that, if you want the vaccine, you have access to the vaccine. Am I correct?
Yeah.
For the most part?
Yeah, absolutely.
There are free clinics all across the country. So again, if you choose not to get it, that is a personal choice. And everything you then do after, we have just let personal accountability go, and we have began to mandate how people should live. And my thought is, if you're an adult, you have a choice, right? You can go get vaccinated. And if you don't, then you might get really sick. The vast, vast, vast majority of the people being hospitalized due to COVID are the people that the unvaccinated, right?
Yeah.
And so if you are in the NFL and 90-something percent of NFL players are vaccinated and you do test positive, but you simply are showing no signs of your asymptomatic, then who are we protecting? What are we doing here? Why are we even testing is my question. Who are we helping?
I have no answer to that because I don't. I mean, you could argue the five or six people that could be in contact with them at the games that have possible medical illness, but that's about it. That's the only people I can think of is the people that are at the games.
If you have an underlying health issue and you're not vaccinated,
shouldn't be going to the games.
And if you do, you understand you're the risking, risk you're taking. If you were in that crowd of 60,000 people, you understand the risk that you are taking at this point, or you simply don't care. Either way, there are ways to avoid getting sick.
Yeah.
For the most part, yes, a very small number of folks by percentage are vaccinated and are showing serious symptoms.
Yes.
But a very small number. So I'm just wondering, and this is not to go off on a COVID tangent and say what we should do. I said at the top, I have no answers. But I just have the question, who are we protecting? What are we doing here?
And, I mean, to kind of piggyback off that, consistency. It's not there on the government side, on the professional sports side. Like you were saying in the beginning, a lot of these teams are supposed to forfeit these games. They're not forfeiting them anymore. They're postponing them and pushing them further. We have a game on two games on Tuesday in the NFL.
Right.
That's just stupid because they wanted to postpone these games. And the Browns and the Raiders are playing tonight. The Browns are playing again on Christmas on Saturday. Let me just say that again. They talk about players' safety and health. They're playing Monday. Then they got to turn back around and play Saturday.
Right. Right.
It's ridiculous. I mean, we have two games or a game on Thursday and then two games on Saturday that have short turnarounds.
Now, I understand that with this pandemic, we've kind of been flying by the seat of our pants, understanding that this is a new virus that we are finding out more and more about every day. I understand that. And again, I am not here to say what we should be doing. I will say what the government should have done from the jump is be honest with your people and tell us you don't know what the hell this is and you don't know what's going on. Here's, I think, a lot where a lot of the problem stems from. You have something?
And the NHL just suspended all operations from December 22nd through the 25th, pending testing for COVID. There is no, from what I've heard, there's no outbreak other than the Carolina Hurricanes. Had six players, but outside that, I mean, so that's just another league.
Well, if you want to err on the side of caution, I'm not against taking the proper steps to keep people healthy and protect them.
Yeah.
But again, if people are showing being asymptomatic, and my point about the government, if y'all remember way back to March 16th, 2020,
when everything shut down,
And what we are told by the California state government is 2 weeks. Now, yep. I don't remember because it seemed to be an eternity that shelter in place was happening. And we weren't getting any clear answers from our government. If our government simply said, we have no idea what the hell is going on, we're going to shut down for a few weeks, reevaluate and see where we're at. Okay, you would have earned something from us. And that something you would have earned is some trust because there would have been some accountability. Instead, our governor decides to go to Cabo, or was it Cancun? It was Cabo.
Don't matter. He went somewhere he shouldn't have been.
My man decided to dip from California, come back, and institute a mask mandate. And I'm not going to sit here and argue the mask mandate. I don't really care what your thoughts are on it. You don't care what mine are because we have been pretty divided over this entire thing from the beginning. I think where we can all have some semblance of agreement is we're all sick of it. I think I could say that pretty unanimously, that we are all sick of it. And a little transparency from the government would go a long way. Explain to us what these mandates are doing and what the thought process is behind it. Because all we've seen is mental health fall by the wayside as a country, as a whole. Suicides at an all-time high. Overdoses at an all-time high. For the first time ever, the leading cause of death among 18 to 45-year-olds was was drug overdoses in this country.
Fentanyl.
There is something seriously wrong, and the powers that be have done a pitiful job of controlling it and just being transparent with us. So here we are. It trickles down into our arena, which is sports.
Yes. Well, I mean, you're already in this role. Do you want to just do your player haters ball from last week, too, while you're at it? Jeez. I mean, you're just going off, so.
It's just frustrating because
I
don't understand.
I get it. I completely understand.
Talking about it, too. Just hearing about it sucks.
Yeah. We have some of the healthiest people in the world. I've said my point. Okay.
Yes, all right. Yes.
Let's talk about the actual games. I'm sorry for going on.
You're good, but
it's just frustrating, man.
I'm not hating on you for what you said. You make a valid point 100%.
Thank you.
Yes.
All right, let's move on and talk some actual games.
Let's go.
But before we talk some actual games, we started last week's show talking about how Urban Meyer needed to be fired. And lo and behold, Urban Meyer no longer has a job.
So happy
got
he's
kicked
gone,
out of
dude.
Office on that one. It's going to be...
He's a good coach, but I'm so happy he's not in the league anymore.
Well, I mean, does he go back to college?
He shouldn't go anywhere. He should just go back home.
Oh, a college team will pay him $100 million.
Yes. Yes. I mean, he will get picked up by somewhere, wherever he wants to go. But I'm just glad he's not in the NFL anymore.
This is a giant embarrassment if you are Urban Meyer, right? Like, this
100%.
Definitely scars his legacy.
And it shocks me that they keep hiring these college coaches to go into the NFL. There's only been four coaches going into their first professional team that have actually had a winning percentage. And they haven't been all that great. They haven't been all that impressive. They've only been, I think, at the most 10 games above 500.
Yeah.
And who is it for the Cardinals? Kingsbury. Kingsbury is only two games above 500.
Yeah, I mean, so, him and probably Jim Harbaugh, too, had a nice besides them, I can't even name another person.
You can't have the interpersonal relationships problems that Urban Meyer seemed to have with this team. He lost the team. Mm-hmm. And the whole debacle, it was an embarrassment to his franchise. And Shad Khan, the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars, came out after the incident in Ohio when he was at a bar, clearly hammered, with some ladies dancing
after
on him.
After a game that they lost. Yes, lost, stayed there, didn't even leave with the team playing.
While his wife was at home watching the grandchildren, stayed in Ohio, went to his own bar, was filmed, clearly under the influence, hanging out with some younger ladies that were not his wife, and absolutely embarrassed his squad and the franchise. Yeah. And it was just time. He had to go. Yeah. So, Urban Meyer, see you later. And, you know, that's fun.
Yeah.
That's, you know, at least we could kind of laugh about that.
100%, man. We're
he's just an unlikable dude.
I hate the damn guy, dude. I mean,
I think hate might be a little strong, but
I dislike the guy.
Okay. Very good.
Ever since.
Very good.
Since day one.
Again, I apologize for my COVID tangent. I'm frustrated. I'm over it.
Why do we keep on talking about it? Let's talk about the Niners.
I was trying to transition into something funnier.
The two other coaches that did well in their first coaching job out of college, Bill O'Brien.
Bill O'Brien was in college? Really?
From college to NFL.
Who did Bill O'Brien coach in college? I don't even remember.
Penn State.
That's right.
That's right. He did.
And Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll's the other.
God damn it.
So,
fair enough.
Another damn coach I don't like.
There's your four. Kingsbury, Harbaugh, and O'Brien and Carroll.
Thank you.
Yep. I've ruined your transition. Go ahead.
It's fine. Niners get a giant win.
Oh, that was a big one.
Massive win.
Yeah, it was against Atlanta. Let's not get...
No. Like, for standings. But it wasn't like an impressive win, but like for the standings, that was a huge win to keep them going.
Yeah, and then a fun fact about that game. George Kittle has the most receiving yards for tight end in a three-game span in history.
285.
Which is insane. Wait, 285? No, it's more than that.
I don't think
in
so.
In a three-game span?
It's 485, I believe.
There you
485,
go.
485, yes. 485.
285, that's easy to do for a tight end.
485
Gronk's
and three
probably done
teddies.
That.
He's been balling. Debo's been balling. Bosa's been playing lights out. Yeah. If he doesn't get, you know, a top three defensive player of the year voting, that's going to be unreal. Or if he doesn't win it, he most likely will win comeback player of the year. I think that's a given.
Yeah.
But it's going to come down to him and Parsons from the Cowboys, because he's having a great year as well.
Micah Parsons has been beasting.
Yeah, he's solid, man.
Let's calm down, media, about everyone tries to prop up the Cowboys because they're the media darling, they're the most popular team, blah 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 blah. Micah Parsons has been great, but what Joey Bosa, he's just been wrecking.
Nick Bosa.
I'm sorry, thank you. Nick Bosa has just absolutely been wrecking offensive lines
all season long. Double team, triple team, it doesn't matter. He's getting to do that damn quarterback.
Yeah, he's getting to the quarterback every game, tackles for losses, just absolutely crushing it. So, shout out to us. Hey, big up to our boy TJ Hudson, who told me 5 weeks ago that the Niners were going to make the playoffs and tried to bet me $100. I said, absolutely not. I agree with you. I think we will sneak into the playoffs. Jimmy G, huh? How you feel about it right now, Rudy?
He's playing good.
Yeah, okay.
Okay? All right. He's playing good.
That's good enough.
He hasn't thrown a pick in a minute. In the last two games, I don't think he's thrown a pick.
Yeah, I mean, he did try to give away the game against the Bengals with a big six, and the guy just dropped it, hit him right in the numbers, and he dropped it.
But that was a couple weeks ago.
Niners, huh? We're doing good.
We're doing good, man. I'm happy.
Yeah, it's
happy
fun.
With the Niners because, like I said, I gave up on them five, six weeks ago. Easy. I was like, yeah, they're trash. We're done. Fire everyone. And then we turned the page, man. We're finally healthy. We got Kittle back, dude.
Yep.
That was a huge upgrade. And Trent Williams, dude. Trent Williams is an animal in the trenches.
Yeah.
He is an absolute beast.
Yeah.
God damn, dude.
He is a problem, bro. Oh, he is such a monster.
He is my favorite player on the team because he just blocks, man.
Yeah.
Does his assignment.
Yep.
To the fullest.
Yep. I did want to just mention before we get into our break and reset the show here, the Ravens lose again, trying to go for a two-point conversion at the end of the game, and I just wanted to get your guys' take from that. Do you like when a coach goes for it in those moments, or would you prefer to kick the field goal and hope for overtime?
Absolutely. I hope they keep doing it. It was a great move. Just didn't benefit them. Thank God.
Oh, spoken like a true Packer. Green Bay Packers.
Exactly.
Like, I don't get
it. No, I hope he does it every single time. It was a well-executed play. It worked out for our benefit.
Well, I think I agree with Harbaugh because you have to be aggressive in this damn league.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Well, not just that.
You have to be aggressive every single damn play.
And if you're on the team, don't you want to go down swinging and taking the chance and having the belief in your guys and knowing your coach believes in you guys that, you know, from 5 yards out, or what is it? Yeah, 5 yards out, that you can get
the 5 yards to get the 2-point conversion. Yes. But the thing is, I actually do like the play just because of who was on the other side. If it wasn't Rodgers, if it wasn't Brady on the other side, I would have said kick the field goal.
Yeah.
Go for overtime.
And then we'll
but who's on the other side? Because now you have a 50-50 chance on whether or not you're going to get the ball, and you're giving Rodgers a chance. Exactly. If you only get the field goal, Rodgers, you know, is going to take it down the field.
The best in the business.
Yeah, we're Niners fans. We saw it happen this season.
Yeah.
With what, 38 seconds left or something like that?
I think it was 40. Yeah.
It was 42, something like that. But regardless, under a minute left, and he had, what, 80 yards to go?
Well, he didn't go the whole 80 yards, but he put him in field goal range.
Yeah, within, like, two plays.
Yeah.
Three plays.
Yeah.
Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
Okay, there goes the game.
Yeah.
Good job, guys.
And, like, yeah, so I'm good
every
with
–
in that time, in that moment, I'm good with let's try and win this game now and at least be up a point and make them try and hopefully miss a field goal to beat us. So I'm good with that.
Yeah. It just sucks to happen.
I'm so happy it happened.
Oh,
but what
okay.
is this, like his third or fourth time that he's tried this and failed in a row? I know it's two in a row.
Two in a row. I don't know how many times he's done
But, like, every time he's tried to win the game with the two-point conversion, it's failed. And what he should have done, and just from looking at it, hindsight's 2020 in this one, he should have done it the first time. The first touchdown, he should have gone for it there. And then if you have to, you have to go for it again just to tie it up with a two-point conversion. But at least you have that two-point conversion the first time.
Extra cushion.
Extra cushion. Now all you have to do is get seven instead of eight.
Yeah,
you put the pressure off a little bit more.
True, but you have Justin Tucker, so he's pretty much automatic.
Yes,
but
if you're not going to use them the second time, second time, use them don't use them the first time.
Yeah, no, especially in that situation, I'm good. I'm good with going. All right, I was revving real high to start the show, so let's, if you wouldn't mind.
Oh, yeah, no, sorry, yes. We definitely need to chill a little bit here.
Let's go ahead and bring it back down.
All right.
And just, everyone, just chill out.
Here we go. There we go.
Oh, one more time, sir.
There we go.
All right. This is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico. We are people-powered community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Feel free, if you're out of the area, stream us, kzfr.org. You can also go to the website, kzfr.org, and tip the show. Why? Because we're independent. We don't have any corporate overlords paying us to promote their products. No, we have local businesses that work with us and people like you that help support us. Even when I say ridiculous things. That's why we love y'all. So go ahead and go to kzfr.org. Tip the show goes a long way to helping us raise money, keep the lights on, buy new equipment, all the fun things around here. We also want to thank supporters. Baker's Birkenstock. Let me do that again.
Yeah.
Baker's Birkenstock. Featuring more than 40 brands of footwear, socks, purses, and hats. Baker's Birkenstock has been serving our community for over 40 years with locations at 333 Broadway Street in Chico and at 691 First Street in Paradise. You can also check out Baker's Birkenstock on Facebook. I feel better. How are you guys feeling? You guys good?
I feel great.
Good.
Yeah.
All right. That's excellent. Let's do Rudy's picks, if you don't mind.
Yeah. I would think.
We'll get our foreign correspondent on the line here in a minute. But first, let's talk some betting.
Rudy. 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 Rudy.
I tell you, it's just occurred to me what the student body has been chanting for the last 2 or 3 minutes. It's the name Rudy. Dan Rudy.
All right, boys. We had a great Sunday yesterday. I mean, at least I did. I don't know about you guys, but I shredded it. So, it's a new week, new picks, so let's go.
Let's do it.
I got my boys, the Niners, at -3 on the road on Thursday night against Tennessee.
Yes, sir.
We've been playing good, and I think we're going to take care of business on the road. So, pull them in at -3. I got the Colts at +2.5 on the road against the Cardinals. Yes, against the Cardinals. Cardinals have been playing like poop, so I think they're going to lose again.
Wow.
And my last pick, let's see where we at. Oh, the Rams against, they're on the road against the Vikings.
Okay.
Rams -3 on the road, so punch them in. Let's make that money, boys. Let's get this bread. Let's go.
Yeah, you know, the Colts, man. What a season for them.
Right, dude?
From Carson Wentz spraining both ankles somehow.
On the same play.
On the same play. To Jack Taylor. Jonathan Taylor. Why do I always want to call him Jack Taylor?
I don't know. He's a great player, but...
Is he the MVP this season?
Dude, he's up there. He's up there.
He's been incredible.
He's a boss, man. And that... Not only him, that offensive line for the Colts as well.
The offensive line has been playing great. Shout out to DeForest Buckner getting all his guys scooters for Christmas.
Did?
Yeah,
no way.
Oh, yeah, great. He got them Fat Boy scooters is what they're called.
No.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's what's up.
Yeah. So
hey, that's still one of my. He's still pissed off and bitter that we traded him away for a first round pick.
Yeah,
he should be,
and he should be. We just didn't want to pay him, and I understand that. But he's playing well.
Yeah, he was a person like meet me halfway.
Yeah,
and they still let him go.
Yeah. So,
oh well.
All right. Well, let's class up the show, and at least let's bring one of Derek's family members on since he decided not to show up. Aaron, what is good? Our foreign correspondent.
How's it going, guys?
What's up, girl?
I hear Derek has disappeared off the planet.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hoping.
Dang. Hey. Derek, if you are listening, I'm pretty sure your sister just wished death upon you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he's fine, but, you know.
Yeah. Well,
typical Derek.
We could only hope. Yeah, typical Derek indeed. Not the first time.
And definitely not the last.
No,
not the last.
He's good for one show a year. He just, you know, doesn't make it. He could be taking a nap. He could be shopping. Who knows? Maybe he's working out and trying to get swole.
Maybe he's out there at the little skate park.
Maybe he's ice skating out there.
Yeah, he could be ice skating right now.
That might be his little hidden talent that he didn't want anybody to know about. Yeah. So he knows that we're occupied for a full hour, and he's like, you know what? This is my time to shine.
God damn! What if he's really out there ice skating?
That would be awesome. I would love that.
Yeah.
Black tights and everything.
So, Aaron, we bring our foreign correspondent, Aaron, on every week to cover some of the sports we don't show enough love to. And this week in particular, you've done a great job so far covering these one-off Jake Paul and the Paul brother events. And Jake Paul fought Tyrone Woodley this week. I have some questions I wanted to ask you just about how far you think this thing could go. But before we do that, just kind of recap how the fight went, how the event was as a whole, and what the result was, if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, so I guess for those who don't know, Paul did knock out Woodley with one punch in the sixth round. It was an incredible knockout. I mean, Woodley went to sleep. he like lowered his hand for some reason. Paul came in with a great jab, just ate it on the mat. It's sad to see when someone gets knocked out like that, but it was incredible. The thing is, that was the only really exciting part of the match. There was maybe another 7 seconds in the second round that was entertaining to watch when they traded some punches. But a lot of the fight, most of the 6 rounds was spent hugging. You could even hear the ref getting annoyed. Guys, stop! Separate! He was just irritated. And I was like, same, dude, same. So really boring fight, but the knockout was incredible.
Yeah, the knockout obviously became an instantaneous meme, in which Tyrone Woodley has now put out, there's a contest basically where he's going to give the winner $5,000 for the person who comes up with the best meme. So he's playing along with it, and
yeah, good natured dude.
Yeah, no, he's rolling with the punches literally and making fun of himself, and I appreciate that. If you're going to get knocked out, because most people could be embarrassed by that, but he's like, no, I got paid huge to take that. To be embarrassed, essentially. And I'm fine with it. And he even said some of the memes made him laugh. And he played along with it so much so that he's going to give someone $5,000 for coming up with a creative meme. So that's kind of fun.
In his defense, he picked up the fight 2 weeks ago. I forget who was supposed to fight. But Woodley was like, okay, the other guy dropped out. I'll take it. So he kind of wasn't, you know, in the best shape. But, yeah, mad props to him on a huge payday.
So, my question, this is now becoming more than just a sideshow, right? This is actually becoming an event, and as much as we like to laugh at Jake Paul and say this isn't real boxing, he's getting guys real paydays to take on these fights, and whether or not this is a legitimate sport, you know, he's calling out Canelo now, and I think all of us believe that Canelo would handle Jake Paul pretty easily. However,
absolutely,
it's still intriguing, and people are, I mean, pay-per-view keeps picking up these fights, and he found out the key to doing this is what our man Floyd Mayweather figured out, right? Because none of us cared about Pretty Boy Floyd when he was just Pretty Boy Floyd. When he became Money Mayweather and was putting it in your face that he had all this money and just became, had the heel turn, that's when he became a draw. And that's exactly what Jake Paul is. You could say whatever you want about him, but he's no idiot. He's pretty smart when it comes to business, because he realizes most of the folks tuning in are tuning in to see him get dropped, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, he is a lot like Mayweather. You know, he's doing the trash talk and he's being loud. He's really generating a lot of eyeballs. Now, does he really want to be a boxer? He says he does. I don't know. Does he really mean it? Maybe. But you're right. It's starting to get pretty serious. If he wants a real boxer, he's going to start to get real fights pretty soon. And those are going to generate huge paydays. I think there are going to be some real boxers down the line that are going to definitely pick up fights against him, because they will be huge paydays. And mad props to him for making that happen for these guys who are, you know, maybe not underpaid, but they're not getting the paydays when you fight one of the Paul brothers.
Right. And I don't remember who said it, but first they laugh at you, then they ignore you, and then they want to fight you, right? And that's...
Yep. Absolutely.
That's exactly what Jake Paul's doing. And so, you know, again, not the biggest Jake Paul fan. I think his brand and his brother's brand is fairly obnoxious, but you got to give them respect for what they built as far as this entire thing has become something that is part of pop culture and is becoming must-see TV. People are paying a lot of money to watch these fights. So, what's next for Jake Paul, would you say? Obviously, Jorge Masvidal called him out. He's trying to call out Canelo Alvarez. What do you think is realistic?
I wouldn't be surprised if they started their own boxing belt. Boxing currently has 4 commissions, essentially. There's currently 4 belts. Not all of them are all that popular. Not all of them have much strong standing. So I wouldn't be surprised if you see them either take over one of those belts or just create their own, and then another one falls to the wayside. These guys think big. I think there is something much bigger in the works than just getting into, you know, a boxing fight here and there.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you, because that's the thing with boxing, right? It's commissioned, but it is so fractured. It's not like a UFC where there's an actual league and a commissioner and things of that nature. There are all these different divisions. So there absolutely is a place for the Paul brothers to really make a name for themselves. And I think they have been on some level, they've been legitimizing themselves. And I think the pay-per-view numbers kind of speak for themselves.
Absolutely. I think they could do it, and it would kind of be great, because there are too many boxing commissions. I mean, it's so hard to follow, and boxing has sort of been unpopular in the last, you know, couple decades. So, you know, I think mad props to them for, you know, really breathing some life back into boxing. And I do think they have bigger plans than just a fight here or there.
Yeah, and I think the way he's done it with taking, I mean, let's face it, he's not fighting the stiffest competition, but there's enough intrigue in every fight, so you kind of got to at least respect the business sense to do at least that much, right?
Oh, absolutely. They are so unlikable, but look at what they have done. I mean, they're like the Kim Kardashians of reality TV.
you nailed it right there. They are. It's like a train wreck. You don't want to watch, but you can't look away.
Absolutely.
So, Aaron, thank you so much. You got anything else on any of that before we get you out of here?
Quick shout out to John Daly and his son, John Daly II, for winning the PNC Championship yesterday. It was very exciting.
John Daly just being 100% absolute John Daly. Yep. Ripping Stokes on the golf course. Just amazing. So, yes, thank you for bringing that up, because I wanted to get to that and I just totally forgot about it. John Daly is a legend, so thank you for that.
A legend.
Aaron, great work as always, and we will catch up with you next week. Oh, before you go, have a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, girl.
Thanks, guys. Merry Christmas. I'll talk to you next week.
All right. Sounds good.
Bye, Aaron. All right, that was Aaron, the one Isimaki. Well, I guess she's no longer an Isimaki, but former Isimaki that decided to show up to the show. Hopefully, we'll have Derek back next week, because Christmas shopping will be over by then, hopefully, unless he's still stuck in traffic by that point.
Jeez.
What traffic, though? There's not really much traffic.
Well, I mean, at the mall, getting in, trying to find a parking spot, then getting out of the mall.
It's a nightmare.
Getting
right
onto
now.
The freeway. Even though it's right there, getting onto the freeway from the mall is just hell.
You're right.
It's awful. Yeah. That's why I just try to stay away from there. Or I go early in the morning right once it opens. And then I go the back way off Bruce.
Mm-hmm.
Easiest way to get out of there. Just go Bruce.
Yeah,
all right. That and more traffic talk coming up. do you want to do your North State update, my friend?
Wait, can I? Yes, I would love to. It's been a while, and I got some big news in the Chico State world. So here we go.
Let's do it. He's got facts. He's got stats. And his name is Brad. It's time for Statman Brad's North State Update.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. It's great to finally be back on the North State Update. And I got some pretty good news. Sorry. There's a lot going on right now. A little excited.
Very excited.
It's been almost a year, guys, since I've done a North State Update because of COVID. Actually, almost 2 years. I take that back. Almost 2 years since I've done a North State Update. So here we go. We're starting with women's basketball. A little sluggish to start off the season. They are 4-5, 2-3 in league. They had losses to Stanislaus State and Cal State San Bernardino, and they played Humboldt State this past weekend, and they lost in three overtimes.
Damn.
96-105, close matchup against Humboldt State, but was unable to get the victory. They'll be playing at home January 2nd, which is a Sunday against Stanislaus State. So check them out. They're going to be at home January 2nd against Stanislaus State. But we are actually going to go to the men next, and they are ranked number 7 in the nation. Are you kidding me? There we go, Wildcats. One more time.
Let's do it.
Number 7 in the nation with a 9-0 record overall, 5-0 in conference. And just so you guys know, that number 7 rank is with an 8-0 record. So this could bump them up into 6 or 5. We'll see. Just depends. But huge wins out of conference in the beginning of the year against Azusa Pacific and Seattle Pacific, respectively, at the conference crossover challenge. That'll play huge for the Western rankings as they move forward in the closer to the end of the season. But huge wins against in-conference rivals, Stanislaus State and Cal State San Bernardino. Sonoma State was a huge blowout, 81-61. Again, they're going to be playing at home against Stanislaus State January 2nd. You need to listen to them on KPAY, or you can actually go to the stadium. Go to the arena. Check it out. Acker Gym. That's your North State update, y'all.
I wouldn't call it an arena, but I got you.
Yeah. More like
that's the
I missed that.
Cleanest.
Yeah. I don't know how you do that.
Honestly, like I don't know why, but I did it when I was a kid, and I've just been able to kind of do it. It's my weird talent.
Hey.
Shouts to you and your very...
Staring into my soul when you did that last
very time. Very talent.
That's how I get the women. As you can see, I'm flooded with them.
Yeah.
Okay.
We do a grinds my gears because I have one.
Yeah, hit him.
Yeah.
Let me
just to switch it up real quick.
Give him a second.
You want to switch it up a bit? All right, I'll switch it up.
Matter of fact,
you.
Let me see your phone so I can pull up the grinds my gears for us. Because this week, for the first time in a while, we actually had listener submitted grinds my gears.
Oh, really?
And y'all came with it. So shouts to you. We appreciate all of you.
We're going to start with Rudy. Here we go.
You know what really grinds my gears?
The amount of sauce that are like in ketchup packets. They're so minimal, dude. You have to use like 10 of them to get the amount of like ketchup or anything. Just make them a bigger one. Like In-N-Out, you know, the spread?
Yeah.
Nice and big and
Wow, nice, big, and wide. Yeah, Rudy, you like
them
like
what
that?
I'm saying. Just make them
we got
bigger.
You. Right? We got
make
you.
Them bigger and wider.
Yes.
Drew, you got them?
Yeah, I got them.
You know what really grinds my gears?
Coming from Wise McGee on Instagram, make sure you go follow us, TBP Not A Game. Wise McGee says, people who don't use car signals.
Solid.
All right.
Yeah.
You know what really grinds my gears?
MF switching lanes without using turn signals from our boy Spilly J on Instagram.
You know what really grinds my gears?
Priceline canceling my honeymoon trip without telling me.
Ooh, that's messed up.
Shout out to Cream Cheese and Trees. We were at your wedding, Derek and I were, and we're sorry that happened. Our girl Shelby. That's absolutely awful. We're sorry, girlie.
You know what really grinds my gears?
Coming from our girl Melinda. People who stand way the F too close to you while waiting in line. And could not agree more with you.
100% on that one.
You know what really grinds my gears?
Multiple short texts sent directly after another. Why not just send one text? That's coming from our man John Wayne Pilgrim.
You know what really grinds my gears?
People eating bananas.
What?
That noise.
What?
I don't get that one.
I like bananas.
That's it. That's what's been grinding your guys' gears lately. Give me one.
All right, you want one? All right, here we go.
You know what really grinds my gears?
When your co-host doesn't show up to the show and is a no-call, no-show, but you can't reprimand him because he doesn't get paid to be here, so it's just like, hey, man, do better, dude. I mean, we do rely on you.
I mean, there's like, what, 4 or 5 segments for him?
He is the star of the show.
He really is.
Yeah, we kind of build a lot of the show around him.
He is the show.
It's been too much happiness, the show. Yeah. I don't like it.
Well, I did our best
you kind of failed at that, honestly. It wasn't sports related, and it wasn't really funny news.
It was more annoying than anything.
Yeah.
All right, fair enough.
But you made some valid points.
Yeah. Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah.
Let's talk some hoops, shall we?
NBA Steph, NBA.
Doing great.
NBA Steph Curry.
The NBA has a new all-time three-point leader in Steph Curry. He beat the record last week on Tuesday, I believe it was. As he passed Ray Allen for all-time threes made, he did it in 789 less games than Ray Allen did. He's still in the prime of his career, and he has absolutely transformed the way the game is played.
Does this become an unbreakable record?
I mean, I don't know that anything's unbreakable. I think whether or not this record ever gets broken isn't as impressive as the fact that Steph Curry completely changed the way the NBA is played.
100%.
And I heard a player talking about, actually it was Bob Myers, the GM of the Warriors, talking about Steph Curry. And one thing he said that I completely agree with, what Steph does better than anyone is he makes the game uncomfortable. And what I mean by that is you have to guard Steph different than you have to guard any other player in the NBA. And what Steph does is he, the gravity he pulls with him. So there's a play in that Knicks game where he gave the ball up to Iggy. He gave the ball up, then set a screen on Iggy. And instead of just playing the pick and pop, he then ran around to the left side, came around the right side baseline, went back to the left side, and got open for a three because he's bringing attention everywhere he goes. And that's what he does for an offense. The reason we have a difficult time figuring out, in look, Steph's got a lot of career left, but the reason I think so many people struggle with where does he stand amongst the all-time greats is because he doesn't play like any of the all-time greats.
No, he's seriously one-of-a-kind player.
We've never seen anything like this. I mean, Dame Lillard takes the long threes. Trae Young has kind of a similar style, but no one has been able to pull up off the dribble like Steph Curry. Pulling up off the dribble for a three before Steph Curry was kind of a no-no. It was considered a bad shot.
It's like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah. And now we see it in every NBA game. No one has been more proficient at it than Steph. But basically, he changes the entire game plan for a defense because the moment he crosses half court,
he's deadly.
Yeah, you have to pick him up. And that's what when I say he's uncomfortable, or to be clear, when Bob Myers was talking about he makes it uncomfortable, that's part of the uncomfortability about having to play Steph on defense, is that where you usually pick up players, where you usually play defense, how you could play off someone, how you can go behind a screen, you just simply can't do. And he garners so much attention. He gets other guys wide open looks all the time. Not to mention that he's an incredibly cerebral the way he handles the game. And he makes passes that a lot of other guys in his position simply will not. Giving up the ball to know, I could give up a good shot to get a great shot. I could give up a good shot here and go run around a few more screens and get a better shot.
Yeah.
And the way he just opens up the defense is incredible. Not to mention, he's one of the best finishers around the rim, period. And he's not a dunker. He's not a high-flying guy. Yes, he has a couple dunks a year, but he's not a high-flying, above-the-rim kind of guy. Never has been, and yet he's still one of the best finishers in the game. And we're all lying if we said, any of us said we saw this happening. No one
saw this happening.
No one. I am a diehard Warriors fan, and I will be the first to admit that I was a little mad that we kept Steph Curry and traded Monta Ellis. I was so wrong. I'm also willing to admit that.
Yeah.
But I did not see Steph Curry the first unanimous MVP of the league.
Well, plus also look at what he had in the beginning of his career. Like even at Davidson, he was injury prone in his legs, where he was the most mobile. That's his game, is can he stay healthy with his legs? And the beginning of his career, there was not a clear answer whether or not he could do that or not, because he was injured so much during college and in the beginning of his career with the Warriors. He's had some on and off injuries with
that.
Well,
think about it. He signed a 4-year extension for $44 million. $44 million, that's nothing. That's what Westbrook's getting paid right now.
Yeah.
And it's because of the injuries. And Bob Myers said during that entire time, Steph never complained that he was underpaid. He never once mentioned it to Bob Myers, the GM of the Warriors. He bet on himself. He played through his contract and then became the highest paid player in the NBA, and well deserving. So just want to give Steph a shout out, because obviously just he's changed the way the game is played. And it's been a long time. I don't even remember the last time that we had a player literally change the way the game is played.
Not only in the pros, in college and in high school.
All the way down. All the way down. And the emphasis we put on shooting the three now. The fact that people are encouraging him and saying he should take 15 threes a game.
Yeah.
Which is unheard of.
Yeah.
He's going to make 10 of them.
Now, would